Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we all know, things in our world today are far from business as usual. The COVID-19 pandemic, protests in the streets, and cries of racial injustice have taken center stage. And that's why Pastor Rick has decided to set aside our regular programming in order to share his heart regarding these extremely critical issues. He'll be taking us through the small but mighty book of James in a series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. In this teaching, Rick gives you the principles you need to live through a pandemic. Please be sure to invite a friend or loved one to listen along with you today as we continue with our series. In a year that's caused millions worldwide to experience fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's never been more important to get God's life-changing word out to as many people as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will allow us to do just that. If you'd like to help this ministry as we reach out to the world with the hope found in Jesus Christ, just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Stays Calm in a Crisis.
Hello, everybody. I'm Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, and teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Now, in this series, my goal is to share with you practical and biblical principles that will help you navigate this crisis with calmness and competence and confidence. I want you to learn how to control the controllable things in your life and trust God for all the stuff that you can't control. Now, during these stressful times, I chose for us to study the small book of James in the Bible because it was written to encourage people who were experiencing severe pressure and stress due to a crisis in the days that they were working on. Now, the book of James only has 5 chapters, and it has 108 verses, but it's loaded with insights that we need right now. In fact, you know, when I first started studying the little book of James, I found 16 principles to guide us through this pandemic. But the more I've studied this book, as I've prepared these messages, I found 3 more principles to share with you. So it looks like we're going to learn 19 life principles during the COVID-19 pandemic. I hope you'll stick with me to learn all of them because it'll change your life. Now, this past week, I read a number of news articles that talked about the increasing number of outbursts of anger and irritability in our society during this pandemic. In one article I read, it had the headline, "The coronavirus has made me a rage monster." Well, it seems like a lot of people are feeling angry and they don't know why. So today, I want to help you not only understand where anger comes from, whether it's in yourself or in somebody else. But I also want to share the practical steps from God's word on how to reduce the level of anger in yourself and in others. This is a very important message at this point in the pandemic, because if you've been feeling more short-tempered and angrier during the spread of the COVID-19 virus, I want you to know that's normal. There are many things to be angry about right now. And the combined factors of being out of work, being quarantined at home, caring for kids who are out of school that you normally didn't have to care for during the day, the daily pandemic news, and all the other stressful changes that you've had to go through in a very short time, that's causing a lot of heated emotions like anger and irritability and frustration and just being short-tempered. That's why I'm teaching this series, to help you cope with the emotional dis-ease of the disease. As I said in the previous message, I can't keep you from getting the disease, but I can help you cope with the emotional and spiritual dis-ease that we're all feeling. Fortunately, we have a Bible book written by James, and today we're going to look at what God has to say about anger, both in James and in other places in the Bible. Now, our series, if you remember, is called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. And today we're going to look specifically at a faith that keeps me calm in a crisis. It keeps me calm in a crisis. You know, anger may be the most misunderstood and most mismanaged emotion. The wrong kind of anger is actually named as one of the seven deadly sins. But not all anger is a sin. Sometimes the most appropriate response to a situation is anger. Sometimes anger is an expression of love. So anger is not automatically a sin. In fact, anger is a God-given capacity. Now, the Bible tells us that God gets appropriately angry. And the only reason you're able to experience anger is because you're created in God's image. Anger has its place. If you were never angry, you'd just be a vegetable. But there is such a thing as sinful anger, wrong anger, unrighteous anger. And you must learn how to control your anger. You have to learn how to use it wisely. You have to learn how to use it appropriately. You have to learn how to use anger righteously. Because mismanaged anger is a sin. But managed anger is actually an asset. What I'm saying to you is that the problem really isn't anger as much as it is inappropriate expression of anger. And typically, we go to one of two extremes. When we get angry, we either blow up or we clam up. You know, we become a mute and we say nothing, or we become a maniac and we explode. I say we either stew or we spew. One of you, to use an analogy in a marriage of animals, one of you tends to be a skunk and one of you tends to be a turtle in your marriage. If you're a turtle, when turtles get angry, they just pull into a shell and they hide. But when skunks get angry, they stink up the whole place. And what I've discovered is that in all the years I used to do marriage counseling, I discovered that skunks and turtles always marry each other.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment with the second half of today's lesson. But first, in a year that has caused millions worldwide to become isolated, dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is more important than ever. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out to as many people as possible with daily hope for their lives. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to this ministry. Please go to PastorRick.com today to give your gift so that those in need have access to the hope found in Jesus. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. Today, when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Rick's brand new Daily Hope Silver Scripture Box with 52 Bible verse memorization cards based on the Invisible War series. And remember, any gift you give today will be matched up to $50,000 till the end of this month. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so contact us today.
Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he's created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box. And it is beautiful. The new Scripture Box is silver, with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, And this new scripture box makes a great gift, too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now, before we look at what God has to say about managing your anger in a crisis, let me share with you some things that I've learned. First, I've discovered through study that men tend to lose their temper more often than women. Typically, a woman will lose her temper about 3 times a week, while a man will typically lose his temper about 6 times a week. Women tend to get more angry at people, while men tend to get more often angry at things like machines that break down. It's interesting that in studies, it is shown that single adults express anger twice as often as married adults, twice as often. And men are more physical with their anger than women. Also, you're more likely to express anger at home than anywhere else. And I think that's why all of us at home during this pandemic have seen a rise in anger. Finally, a statistic I learned is that successful marriages are not those marriages where anger and conflict doesn't exist, but rather a successful marriage is where they have learned to manage their anger. When anger is managed, it produces great marriages. When anger is managed, it produces great friendships. When anger is managed, it produces great businesses. When anger is managed, it produces great athletes and great leaders. So, how do I grow a faith that keeps me calm in a crisis or keeps me calm in a conflict? Well, I want us today to look at 6 biblical steps, the principles of anger management. Here they are. Number one, if you're taking notes, realize the cost of uncontrolled anger. That's the starting point. If you're going to learn to manage your anger, you've got to realize the cost of uncontrolled anger, because you're less likely to get angry if you remember that there's always a price tag for uncontrolled anger. It's very expensive. The Bible has a lot to say about this. Proverbs 29, verse 22 says, "A hot-tempered man gets into all kinds of trouble." And we're all probably nodding our head right now. Hot temper gets us into all kinds of trouble. What kinds of trouble? Well, God gets very, very specific. Now, you've heard that confession is good for the soul. So as I read these next couple of verses, you might want to raise your hand at home if any of these are true of you. It causes all kinds of trouble. How about this? Proverbs 15, 18. Hot tempers cause arguments. Anybody want to raise their hand on that? Yeah, I've seen that. Hot tempers cause arguments. Proverbs 14, 29, anger causes mistakes. Anybody want to raise their hand on that? Proverbs 14, 17, people with hot tempers do foolish things. We've all done that. You see, you always lose when you lose your temper. You lose the respect of others. You can lose the love of family members. You can lose your job. You can lose your health if you respond to anger in the wrong way. You can stuff it. Let me just pause here and give a word to parents. When you're frustrated, it's very tempting to motivate your kids with anger. Why? Because it works in the short term. Anger gets people's attention. There is a short-term payoff. But in the long run, anger as a parent creates 3 big problems in kids. It creates anger in them. It creates apathy, and it creates alienation. All 3, anger, apathy, and alienation in kids. Nothing destroys a relationship faster than anger. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 11, 29, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. So the first step in how to keep cool in a crisis is to realize the cost of uncontrolled anger, all right? It's going to cost me. It's not worth it. Here's the second step. Resolve to manage it. Step 2, the Bible says, is to resolve to manage my anger. Now, what am I saying resolve? I'm saying this is a deliberate choice. You literally say to yourself, I'm tired of hurting myself. I'm tired of hurting other people with my anger. And I am choosing to change with God's help. I resolve to manage it. Quit saying that you can't control your anger and start realizing you can. Stop making excuses. Accept responsibility for your reactions. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. You're choosing to get angry. The fact is, you have a whole lot more control than you want to admit about your anger and any other emotion. Have you ever been in a loud, angry fight at home and the telephone rang? And you've been in a really heated argument and you've been all worked up and the telephone rings and you pick up the phone and you sweetly say, hello? What just happened? You were able to change your tone instantly because you wanted to. You have to resolve to change your anger. Proverbs 29:11 says this, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. If you're taking notes, circle the word keep. A wise man keeps himself under control. Anger is a choice. It's controllable. What does it mean to keep? It means I've got a choice. When you choose to get angry, you're choosing to do so. You have probably said, as I have and others, everybody said this, you probably said at some point, you make me so mad. But the bottom line is nobody can control your emotions without your permission. You see, nothing can make me mad. Nothing can make me mad. It's my choice to get mad. And to resolve means to decide in advance. Now, this is the second step in anger management. The second step is you must prepare in advance to manage. You go, you know, I know it's a weakness in me. I spout off, or I whatever way, whether I'm a mute or I'm a loud exploder, you work on it before it happens. You don't work on it in the heat of the moment. You just say, I'm going to choose to stop being that way. Step one, realize the cost of anger. And step two, resolve to manage it, realizing with God's help, I can change. Now, here's the third step, very important, and this is what James talks about. Reflect before reacting. Step three in anger management is reflect before reacting. In other words, think before you speak. Don't respond impulsively. Pause. Stop. Be quiet. This is where James helps us out greatly. James chapter 1, we've been in this chapter now for about 7 weeks. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 says this, my dear brothers and sisters, always be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry, because human anger will never bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, this verse is literally packed with important spiritual truth. And I want to point out a couple things looking at this verse there on your outline. The whole point of the book of James is to teach us how to live as Christians in a crisis. James says, if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to act the same way he does in every situation. But James never just gives us a rule of conduct. He always gives us the reason why we should live a certain way. And he says, you know what? Your behavior is determined by your beliefs. And God wants us to treat others the way he treats us. He always makes the point, whatever he's telling us to do in a crisis, he always makes the point from the inside out. He moves from being internal to external. He moves from being to doing. He moves from character to conduct. He moves from my identity in Christ to my activity in the world. He moves from belief to behavior. He always starts on the inside and moves out. He always tells us why we should do something before he tells us what to do. Now, in this case, he says, I want you to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. Why? He says, because that's the way God treats you. He says, God is slow to get angry at you. And so he says, you know, if you be you're a follower of Christ, then you need to be like Christ was. He is slow to anger with us. He also says you need to be slow to get angry because anger will never lead you to live the kind of life that God wants you to live. He said it just doesn't work. Now, in this passage that we're looking at today, James gives us three action steps in how to reflect before reacting. How to reflect before reacting. Notice three phrases. First, he says, if you want to control your anger, if you want to be calm in a crisis, first, be quick to listen. Did you know that studies show that the quickest way to diffuse somebody else's anger is you just calmly and genuinely listen to them? That's it. Use your ears. It's the quickest way to diffuse somebody's anger. Genuinely listen to them. Being listened to calms people down. When you don't feel like you're being listened to, that just makes you more angry. Now, I don't need to explain this to a lot of you. You just need to start doing it. When you're angry, don't talk first. Listen first. And if that's all you get out of this message, you're going to take a giant step toward managing your anger. Be quick to listen. Don't be quick to speak. Don't be quick to get your point across. Don't be quick to share your side of story. He says, be quick to listen. Why? Because listening calms people down. Calms you down, calms them down. It's soothing. It relieves fear. When people feel listened to, it reduces their frustration. It eases their hurt. So he says, to reflect before reacting, you just listen. Be quick to listen. Second thing he says in reacting, relating and listening first, he says, be slow to speak. Now, why does James say be slow to speak? Because anger control is basically a matter of mouth control. Anger control is a matter of mouth control. You tame your temper by taming your tongue. Now, James is going to have a lot more to say about this in the next chapter. We're going to look at that later on. But it starts, anger management starts with watching your words. If you're going to learn to control your anger, you must learn how to muzzle your mouth. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 11, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it grow cool.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, in a year that has caused millions worldwide to become isolated, dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is more important than ever. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out to as many people as possible with daily hope for their lives. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to this ministry. Today, when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Rick's brand new Daily Hope Silver Scripture Box with 52 Bible verse memorization cards based on the Invisible War series. Here's Rick to tell you more.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart. To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around.
So you need God's word in your mind so you can remember it. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. Imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing. Okay. One verse a week in 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Please go to PastorRick.com today to give your gift. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. And remember, any gift you give today will be matched up to $50,000 till the end of this month. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.